We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
T2 and online at WQAM.com.
We will head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline here and talk with Rick Kamla from NBA TV. Take the temperature on Hawks Heat. You see? Anywho, he's the midday host on 92.9 The Game in Atlanta. You see him on NBA TV. He hosts the show on The Game with John Michaels, who we have on all the time to talk Hurricanes football. And Rick Kamla is there. Hello, Rick.
Hey, fellas, what's going on, man? How's everything down there in beautiful Miami?
It is beautiful, like you say. The weather has been beautiful. Let me ask you this. Before we start talking here about basketball, we just found that our producer, Eric Falero, who's 25 years old, he was out sick yesterday, and he told us, I said, you know, how are you feeling and what happened? And he said, I had 100.2 fever. And I was saying that really adults don't need to take their temperature anymore. Like if you have a fever, you just kind of know it. You have the chills, you take a fever reducer, you're done. How do you side on adults taking their temperature?
I'm okay with it if you're curious, but I'm with you. You know, when you're super sick, leave me alone. Let me lay in bed. Let me sweat it out, and all that kind of stuff. I rarely do this, but I'm going to play the middle on this one.
Okay, that's fair. He lives at home. That makes a difference, though. His mom obviously wants to take care of him. He lives at home.
Well, you should have told me that before. You got to let mom check you, right?
Yeah.
Like if your wife or girlfriend is a nurse or. Something in the health profession, you just kind of got to go with the flow of that deal, I think. So I'm not mad at your producer.
Okay. No, Rick, it's like an animal when they're sick. They go off into the woods and hide because they're not themselves. They don't let nobody tend to them.
I love it, man. I'm just glad he's feeling better and not infecting you all with whatever he has.
Yes. Well, he's infecting us with something, but I don't think it's his illness. Heat and Hawks tonight at the American Airlines Arena. This Hawks team is unwatchable. I'm guessing there's no interest in Atlanta, which is a suspect sports market as it is. There's no interest in the Atlanta Hawks this season.
Was that a shot? No, I'm just kidding.
just real. We deal with the same realism down here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I totally get it. The Hawks are a dumpster fire right now, but it's been set up to be that way, okay? It's not any fault of Mike Budenholzer or any fault of the players. As they proved in that terrible win against Orlando on Sunday, that may have impacted their lottery odds by 5%. If ever there was a game to just clang a bunch of threes like Orlando did, that was the game. So the organization sets the team up, says goodbye last offseason to Tim Hardaway Jr., Paul Millsap, and Dwight Howard. I wonder what the Hawks are doing. They're bottoming out. They want a top pick. They want Ayton. They want Bagley. They want, Porter, any of these guys. They want to be high in the draft. So that's where it's at. There's been, at least from our show in Atlanta, with me and John, there's been a mandate put out. No more wins for the Hawks, okay? I'm serious. You have to lose out.
A mandate. Wait, who put out this mandate? You and John?
Me.
All right.
It was me. Trust me, guys. He has Miami Heat tattoos. he talks about the Hawks. He analyzes them and, we talk about the Hawks. I'm actually kind of a quasi-Hawks fan, so I got a little bit of skin in the game. He doesn't. I mean, he's just ticked off and sideways about your guy Hassan Whiteside, which I'm sure we'll get into here in a second. But, yeah, look, the city is turned off on the Hawks in terms of they support a winner. They don't really support a loser, to your point, about the overall vibe of the Atlanta fan. Sports base here in Atlanta, but it's all about getting a top pick. And by the way, if Minnesota makes the playoffs, the Hawks get their pick. The Hawks are going to get Houston's pick. So the Hawks are probably going to go like 3-17, 30-31. So there's going to be a lot of help in this draft for them.
And how does that feel? Because the Hawks with 55 losses this year already. It's the last, the first time they've had 50-plus losses since 2006-07 season. 10 years of playoffs, but it's kind of why you rebuild, because semis, they're out. First round, they're out. Like, how does it feel going to the playoffs for 10 years and understanding we can't continue to do this? We have to make a change. And this first year right now, 22-55.
I mean, great question, but in terms of, you know, being a – I've been here about 10 years. Came down from New Jersey for the NBA TV job, so I'm an Atlanta guy for about 10 years now, and I like the Hawks. I go to many, many of their games. I have friends within the organization, and so I pull for them. And I wanted them to bottom out. This was the right thing to do. They were the prototypical, you know, gerbil on the wheel, just spinning their wheels, you know. We'll get the 8 seed. We'll get the 6 seed. We'll get the 5 seed. The 1 year they spiked up and won 60 games and were the number 1 seed, they get trucked by Cleveland. They didn't win a game in the Eastern Conference Finals as their guys were completely falling apart. So you had 4 All-Stars. You had 5 Players of the Month in January. You had a franchise record 19-game winning streak. You won a franchise record 60 games. And what did you have to show for it? 8 playoff wins. Okay, in most years, like you said, it's one and done. It was time for the Hawks to head to the bottom for a couple of years, get some premium draft picks, because when you're Atlanta and no free agent wants to come play for your team, this is the only option that you have. You bottom out, you get high in the draft, and you see if you can hit on some superstar and former All-Stars.
You miss Dwight Howard?
I don't, because he's not a fit with what Coach Bud wants to do. Coach Bud is a guy like Jay Wright. We saw that with Villanova. He needs 5 guys on the floor to be able to shoot. A lot of coaches don't. Steve Clifford obviously does not. And you got to give Dwight credit. He's had a monster year with the Charlotte Hornets. But if you're in a system that's predicated on ball movement, threes, and having 5 guys be able to shoot, Dwight Howard can't play for that team.
Rick Kamla is with us, NBA TV, 92.9 The Game in Atlanta. All right, let's talk a little Hassan Whiteside here. I said we were going to talk about the three H's in the last segment, Hassan, the Heat, and the Hawks. Hassan Whiteside, there's obviously, as Crowder and I have talked about the last day and a half, you know, kind of two camps. There's the pro-Hassan camp, which is the Heat haven't used him properly. Eric Spoelstra hasn't used him properly. When they courted him, you know, 2 seasons ago in free agency as their premier guy, even at the expense of Dwayne Wade, they've never really played him in a way that he believes suits him. And then there's the majority, which is, hey, Hassan, you don't try hard enough, you're a head case, and you've got to earn your minutes, and whatever you're playing, you should be happy and just shut up. Where do you fall on that?
I mean, you gave me a lot to chew on right there. Look, I've been a Hassan Whiteside supporter and defender. Again, you know, my partner in Atlanta, your buddy John Michaels, hated the contract. He didn't dislike it. He hated it. And I told him, John, this is the economics of the NBA in 2016 or whatever it was. He has come around to the reality that's the kind of money these guys get. But I've constantly had to defend Hassan Whiteside with him, and I believe there's a lot of people like that. Look, Hassan Whiteside should be told just to be an elite garbage man. You're going to catch lobs. You're going to get offensive rebound putbacks. We need you to gobble up 15 rebounds, and we need you to block 3 or 4 shots. What DeAndre Jordan does for the Clippers, you need to do that for the Heat, and he's totally capable of doing that. But I think Hassan Whiteside thinks he's better than he actually is. And Hassan Whiteside, thinks he's got this dazzling jumper, and he has this array of post moves and all this kind of stuff. He's got some stuff with that, but it's not elite. It's not like you're going to force feed the ball to him and run offense through him. So I think Hassan Whiteside has a very, very inflated notion of his self-worth. And I know this, I'm preaching to the choir here. You guys live down there. You know the Heat culture even better than I do. But being at NBA TV 16 years now, getting very friendly with people in the organization and just observing the organization over the years, if Pat Riley is going to get in a stare-down with Dwayne Wade and win – and say goodbye to the greatest player in franchise history over a culture thing, over a we're not going to overpay you thing, we're not going to hurt the organization to keep you thing, because the organization always comes first. I can virtually guarantee you that right now the Heat are putting out feelers for Hassan Whiteside, fielding calls. I believe that this is the death of Hassan Whiteside as a Miami Heat. I think he will be on another team next year.
And, Rick, when they put those feelers out, is there a team out there that's comfortable like making Hassan Whiteside that guy? Building a team around Hassan Whiteside, is he good enough?
Yeah, I don't think there's a team in the NBA that would build their team around Hassan, but I think there's several teams that would look at Hassan as look, he's one of about five or six guys in the entire NBA that can pull 20 boards and block five shots in a game, and you kind of shrug it off like, all right, that's kind of what he does. You know, Rudy Gobert is in that class. DeAndre Jordan is in that class. Anthony Davis is in that class. There's only a handful of guys. And so I do think that Hassan Whiteside is a valuable NBA player. But he's got to go to a coach that, and they got to get into his head. Hassan, you are not Hakeem Olajuwon. You're not even DeMarcus Cousins. We need you to be an elite garbage man. And if he can get with the right coach, the right team, and play that way, I think he'll flourish. But if he continues to battle who he is in the NBA, which is an elite garbage man, but yet he thinks he's, you know, a 25-12 Shaquille O'Neal, David Robinson type, then it's never going to work out.
Rick Kamla from NBA TV and 92.9 The Game in Atlanta is with us. He would tell you otherwise. You're saying he's flat out wrong.
Pardon me on that? Who is wrong?
Hassan would tell you otherwise. He would say, no, I'm not what you're describing there. Like, he considers himself, as you know from the outburst after Brooklyn, one of the best centers in the league. Is there any possibility that they're just not using him the way that they should be, and he is what he thinks he is?
I mean, great question, but here's the thing. The Miami Heat are a sum is greater than the whole of its parts team, right? You guys have an all-star in Goran. What did he average this year, 17 a game? That might be the lowest scoring average of a guy who leads his team in scoring in the entire NBA. This is about being too deep at every position. This is about hustle, grit, team first, buying into Spo, buying into Riley. And so I think that's the only way it works, is if Hassan Whiteside can check himself. I just don't think he's going to do that. And I think when you are this blatantly and aggressively rebellious against the great godfather, Pat Riley, in this unbelievable organization that takes care of everybody in it. Anyway, your announcers have been there since the team turn the lights on. Give me a break. I mean, I love Mickey Arison and what he does with that franchise. So if they have a player that's bucking the trend and getting rebellious like this, they get rid of him, and they're going to get rid of Hassan Whiteside.
Where do you think the Heat can go in the playoffs?
Second round. I think, and look, if it's 7-2, you get Boston. If it's 8-1, you know, you get Toronto. I give Miami a puncher's chance in both of those series. I really do. But I wouldn't pick them to win it. You know what I'm saying? To me, if Miami would beat either of those teams, that would be like hugs and hand pounds, and everybody's feeling good about themselves. Now the second round is gravy. Going back to Whiteside for just a second, you know, this is a guy who's losing playing time to Kelly Olynyk, right? Who fits better with what the Heat do? It's Kelly Olynyk, okay? He hustles more. He can handle the ball more. He's a better playmaker. He can hit threes, and you don't cringe when he takes one. You know what I'm saying? He's a contemporary big, whereas Hassan Whiteside is a bit of a throwback old school big. So I have no problem with Eric Spoelstra playing the guy that he feels gives him the best chance to win. Last I checked, y'all haven't even clinched a playoff spot yet, and you will tonight when you pound the Hawks. But what is this, game 77 or something like that? So Spo has had to do what he had to do to get this team to the playoffs.
And Rick, back to that East, talking about the Cavs. We haven't talked to you since the Cavs made all those moves. Did that make them competitive? You didn't bring them up when you talked about the Heat playing a team in the playoffs. Who is the best team in the East? Are the Cavs now with those moves they made?
Nah, they're not, because the defense hasn't improved. I mean, this is a team. Oh, God, what was the game the other night? So many games that I'm watching, guys. But it was – they gave up like 60 first-half points to some grab-blank team, right? It's some – some toilet team, and I'm like, oh, my God, their defense. So did I like the moves? I love the moves. You know, you get George Hill, you get Clark.
You're talking about the Heat game? Are you? Because there was the Heat game where the Heat ran roughshod.
Just looked it up.
And I'm like processing it as he's saying it, and I'm like, I think he's talking about the Heat game.
You know what? And so I take it back, calling them a grab blank team. Okay, I thought it might have been. I thought it might have been a Charlotte or something like that. No, my bad. Because I I think the Heat are a legitimate team. I enjoy watching the Heat. I really do. They're one of the hardest playing teams in the NBA. Obviously, you guys are lacking a superstar and a little lacking in overall talent. But yeah, so I see Cleveland. you know, give up, what was it, 70 first half points? I forget the stat, guys, but it was like, huh? What? You guys think you're playoff ready and you're good? You shouldn't be giving up 70 first half points to the Warriors, let alone any other team, the Rockets or anybody. So to me, that defense is not ready for prime time. Their offense is, and these moves certainly made them better on the offensive end of the court. It's LeBron James and a bunch of others against the world in the playoffs. And you're saying, well, Kevin Love's an all-star, maybe a future Hall of Famer. He is. But he only becomes super viable when LeBron James wants him to be super viable and gives him the rock. And so it's basically LeBron needing to average a triple-double in every single series to get Cleveland to move on. And it would not surprise me at all if Boston or Toronto beat Cleveland and represented the East in the finals.
Rick Kamla, NBA TV. Before we get you out of here, what about Kawhi Leonard and San Antonio? How's that going to end?
I think badly. I think they're going to have to trade him because to me, if people, well, Greg Popovich should have never come out and said that he's been cleared to play. Why not? He's been cleared to play. Why? All right? Why wouldn't you say that? What the reporters want to know is he's been cleared to play. Yes, he's been cleared to play. What is he supposed to do, lie? Give me a break. Guys, you saw, and I believe it was a Miami-Chicago series. I can't remember, but you remember when Derrick Rose was cleared in February coming off the ACL injury, and he didn't play. He just didn't come back. And you got Luol Deng and Nate Robinson puking in trash cans during playoff series because they're gassed, because their superstar prima donna, overrated Derrick Rose, didn't want to come back. So I'm there with Kawhi Leonard. To me, this is a bad look for him. It's not a bad look for the Spurs. I don't think the Spurs have done anything wrong. They certainly haven't rushed him back to the court. And so I think this is going to end in a divorce, and I think Kawhi Leonard, much like your guy Hassan Whiteside, will be playing in a new uniform next year.
Weird how that went south so quickly. I thought he was like a perfect soldier for Pop.
You know what I've heard, though? I've heard that to be a perfect soldier for Pop, you have to have, you know, no expression, no animation, no demonstrative behavior. You just have to fall in line and be a robot. And I've heard that he's tired of that and doesn't want to do it anymore. And he has this, because he's soft-spoken and all this, he has this persona of being that type of guy. But I've been told that when Kawhi is keeping it real and he's with his friends and his boys and stuff like that, he's got a lot of personality. And I've heard that he's a little bit tired of that personality being bridled down in San Antonio. So to me, this is a divorce that needs to happen.
But Rick, with even Markelle Fultz, with his shoulders where, you know, like they didn't really throw him under the bus, or Andrew Luck with the Colts. Like their injury was more psychological, but the team didn't throw him under the bus like that. Didn't the Spurs kind of throw Kawhi out there?
Well, I mean, like I said, I don't think they did. It'd be one thing if he hadn't been cleared and Greg, by doctors, by the way, and if Greg Popovich had come out and said, well, we're kind of waiting on Kawhi here. You know, it's kind of taking long. It's just a quad injury. Like, what the hell? He hasn't even had surgery, and he's missed three straight months. Like, Pop didn't go there. He was told by the doctors that Kawhi Leonard was cleared and available to play. And so Pop is like, okay, where's my guy? He's been cleared to play. To me, it's a Kawhi's and his feelings about a contract, a personality thing. He's in his feelings about something, and he has taken his ball, and he has gone home. That's my read on this. To me, this shows a total lack of competitiveness. It shows that whereas we've always had this perception of him being a team-first guy, it says that he's maybe morphed into a me-first guy. I'm still overall a fan of Kawhi Leonard. I will be able to move past this. Hell, I actually like Kobe Bryant now, whereas he was absolutely impossible to like, in my opinion, in his middle playing days. You guys remember the unbridled arrogance of Kobe Bryant, and I like the guy now. So Kawhi Leonard can repair this with me, but right now he's on my list.
Rick Kamla, NBA TV, 92.9 The Game in Atlanta, Heat and Hawks tonight at the American Airlines Arena. Thank you for making time, Rick.
120-90 Heat. Let's go.
Yeah, because it's an 11.5-point spread. So you say
take the Heat.
You say take the Heat, lay the points.
I'm saying you might want to really load up on this one. Put a couple of mortgage payments on this one.
Because that's how I knew you were talking about the Cavs Heat game, is because I had the Cavs in that game when the Heat were lighting them up, and I couldn't figure out why are the Cavs only -2 against the Heat? And then I found out really quickly why they were only -2.
Watch out for Bazemore.
They didn't feel like playing defense. Thank you, Rick.
All right, guys, take it easy.
Rick Kamla there, NBA TV, and 92.9 The Game in Atlanta.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.